Welcome all you geek enthusiasts and nerd aficionados. Masonic Vader here. Yeah, I'm so close. Masonic Vader here.
So close.
With your another nerd podcast. Not nude podcast, nerd podcast.
That's this later. Is, we do that later.
Yeah. Season 3, episode 44. Something about a bird and a plane and something else going on. Whatever. You saw the scene for it earlier. I'm hosting tonight for temporary as our fearless leader is trying to make some money, I guess. There you go. Let's just say
he's that. Trying to cast from work, which, you know, it's difficult.
So. It's dedication. That's what it is.
Absolutely.
So right now, filling in his spot is a chair.
The chair.
A handsome chair. I wish it had a hat on it.
Yes. it, off the side, like gangster and everything. I am your host, Masonic Vader. Now we're changing things up like we did last week. We're introducing our cast. You guys are telling us what you're nerding out about.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
I can tell you that I am finally nerding out on season 2 of Titans.
Yes, finally got
into that. I'm about 5 episodes in and I'm liking
it. So much better than the first season, isn't it?
You know what? Both seasons are good to me. I really like the. Yeah. I like the first season. The second season's a little better. Yeah, it's, but it's still a solid season nonetheless. You know. Yeah. So I'm,
have you gotten to the episode with Connor Kent yet?
You know what? I haven't gotten there. So quit ruining it for me. Thank you, sir. Kent. Thanks, Dick. All right. So why the spoiler man is there? I see. What are you nerding out on, sir?
Well, this morning I finished my reread of The Wheel of Time. That took a long, long time to read all 14 books.
Four and 25 years. Books. You know?
Yeah, dude. And here's the thing. Like, as much as I love that series, it ends very abruptly. Like, it's kind of like, and we're done.
I think it's just because everyone was just so done at that point. They were like, how long is this series?
Well,
how
and also
the author died.
And that last book, like most of it is just describing war movements. You know, it's just the whole thing is a battle, which it gets kind of depressing. But then there's no epilogue. There's no Breakfast Club ending. You know, we don't get to figure out how these people live in the future. It's just, oh, book's done. Oh,
more like I'm done typing this shit. I'm done.
Well, was dead at that point. So yeah. He was definitely done typing. I have been playing Fallout 4 continuously. I've done one out of the 4 endings so far. I'm currently playing through the second one. So far, I've done the Railroad ending. I'm working on the Minutemen ending. And then I'm going to do Brotherhood, and then Brotherhood Steel, and then Institute. And then let's see what else. I'm in the middle of watching the Maze Runner series, which I had never seen before. So I'm literally when we finish this podcast, I'm going to finish watching the third Maze Runner movie.
Nice. And well, that's the podcast. You took so long. We're done. There you go, guys.
Yeah, we're done. I had too much stuff that I was geeking out about.
All right, now joining us, we have Super Hoovian. How you doing, Super?
I'm a little tired, but otherwise pretty good.
What are you geeking out on this week?
I caught up on a bunch of stuff from this season. So I watched all 7 episodes of This Is Us for the new season. I've watched the 7 episodes of Blue Bloods. I caught up on Modern Family. And then I watched the premiere of Arrow. I watched the premiere of Arrow. So a lot. I caught up on a lot this week.
I am loving the DCEU. CW stuff this season. It's all tangled together. It's wonderful.
All tangled together. I like the way that they started off. I mean, you tripped out for a minute because I was like, wait, I didn't want to restart the series. I wanted to restart the the season 8 or whatever. And then I realized that it wasn't actually the pilot. So it's like, it takes you back to the beginning.
Yes, that was very confusing, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was very confusing because I was like, no. And then I kept pausing it. And I'm like, this is season 8, episode 1. I was like, what the hell? I realized.
We've seen this before.
Yeah, and so there's little subtle differences. And you realize that is he dreaming or is he in another world?
No, yeah, he was in Earth 2.
Earth 2, okay. So that was interesting. So it kind of made me re-love the series again. I mean, I know that the series has had its ups and downs more than any other, I think, of the Arrowverse world, but I really am going to be sad to see it go.
I personally was very confused about how Felicity was not going to be part of season 8 because
I know
Bat Records bowed out at the end of season 7, but they've made it work. Like, they've made it relatable and understandable.
And she is coming back for at least a couple something at the end because they shot some pictures with her on the set.
Oh, good.
So I think she's going to be in the finale in some way, shape, or form, or maybe the last
she
couple
needs
episodes.
To. Yeah.
She needs to. There's no way that you can't not have that character in the series.
Absolutely.
Now, also, can I go back in on before we put our next person in there? There was two things I was geeking out on. I did see the new Terminator movie this last weekend, and
I'm going to take the kid to see it.
Yeah, I like the nostalgia of it, and I'm looking forward to this weekend seeing Midway because that looks awesome. So, joining
about
us,
the aircraft carrier?
Yeah, no, about the actual battle.
Oh, okay.
It's got a nice Pearl Harbor kind of feel to it with all the great.
Oh, was that the Michael Bayness?
Yeah, Michael Bayness, Sigma Tau, all that stuff. It looks great. Hopefully no love scene with it. But, hey, now joining us there, I just see that he's plugged on there. It's our fearless leader, Mest. How you doing, sir?
I'm fantastic. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
We can indeed.
Oh, okay, cool.
Sale?
All right.
Hey, Mess, you know what? Ken gets to host this episode, and you get to be a participant. How do you feel about that?
Sure.
No.
Mess, what are you geeking out on, sir?
Geeking out. Okay, so as if anybody checked out my Twitch channel last night on the Mess 5150 channel, I picked up Death Stranding yesterday. And oh my God, the game is beautiful. The game is amazing. I love how much I've seen of Guillermo del Toro in the game already, right in the first hour. But I'm so confused.
I am so confused as well. I watched your Twitch channel for a little bit, or on this channel. I watched you play that game, and I still don't know what the hell it is. What is that game?
There is no defining. It is a Kojima game. That's what it is. That's Kojima is known for screwing with his players, but making some amazing, fantastic games. And this is Kojima being completely unhinged because it is a Kojima production. It is not with Konami. He's away from Konami. And now it's
this
let's
is just
do
a
whatever.
Master so, at work.
Yeah. And I mean, to the point of the cinematic. So I played an hour of the game yesterday. And in the hour, I did probably 5-10 minutes of actual gameplay and still haven't really done anything outside of delivering some packages. That's what my character did. And where I say that they like to mess with you, where Kojima likes to mess with you, the packages that I deliver, if you get too many packages, you start losing balance and you start having to learn how to get your character to keep balance.
Weight limitations on character carrying ability.
Yep. Okay. So you have to hold L2 and R2 to make sure he doesn't fall.
Hate it.
You got to go as you're walking. You may start slipping, so you got to hit R2, L2 to hold your place. It's Kojima.
It's my least favorite thing about open world games.
And it's a fully open world game for the most part that I've seen so far. To the point that, like, when I first started the game, I had no idea where to walk at first because it just left you in this spot, and it was like, all right, go. Go figure it out. It's
like, all right. Yes. So, you're dropped off in the middle of nowhere and you have to survive on your wits alone.
And it's such a confusing game. So
I haven't just talked to you about this. I've talked to several people about this game and nobody will define it for me. And that actually makes it more
attractive. There's no defining. It's Kojima. There's no defining. It's beautiful.
The fact that nobody can tell me what the game is makes me want to get it.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's an amazing game, and it's fantastic act. I mean, it's Norman Reedus inside there. It's Guillermo del Toro in there. Mads Mikkelsen, I've seen for all of like 3 seconds.
Okay,
so,
I mean, keep naming people I love.
Yeah, exactly. So I will be playing more of it tonight when I get home. So see where this rabbit hole takes me in this game. Heck, I saw Troy Baker's on the credits as well, but I haven't come across who he's playing in the game yet. So,
okay, speaking of rabbit hole, and I know this is a weird side jog, but me and you have talked a bit about watching the Batwoman series.
Yes.
How are you finding that?
Unfortunately.
Because I am unsatisfied.
It's rough, and here's the thing. The reason I was watching it was my stupid IMDb list that has me on my Arrow binge. Because when Elseworlds happens, she's already Batwoman. So they just figure this whole season takes place before the Elseworlds. So they're making me watch it as the episodes are coming out to catch up, I guess. And I think her character was better in Elseworlds. And they've made it a lot worse for her own series. Yeah. So that's the painful part.
Yeah. Batwoman, I'm still watching that show is because I know it's going to be part of the massive crossover. Mm-hmm. Like, if it wasn't for the crossover, I would not continue to watch Batwoman.
I would.
Well,
these are
some things that I've brought up in our. Go ahead,
Sarah. Go ahead. I was going to say I would give it till the second half of the season because a lot of the times with freshman drama series, they listen to that feedback and the critique, and then they haven't written the second half yet, so maybe they'll pick it up and write it a little bit better, but I have not heard good things about it. You guys are not the only critics out there. The buzz on Twitter has not been strong for it. A lot of people are trashing it.
Although, that to be fair, if I judge Supergirl based on the first half of its first season, I would not still be watching it.
Yeah, and exactly.
This season sucks, but Supergirl is a pretty decent show.
Yeah, it was a good series there for a while. I am not enjoying this season. I watched the
season is terrible.
Season opener, and I was just like, oh no. I was like, I can't do this right now. Like, I can't.
It's all the tropes. Yeah. It's all the stupid, dumb. Yeah, it's not written well this season. My personal opinion is that if the rest of the Arrowverse is written by, say, a college-level creative writing class, Batwoman is written by an eighth grader that's doing a book report.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just hope that it gets better. I mean, I see some hope for some of the characters. I see more depth getting created as it goes on.
Yeah.
I don't like Luke Fox because he just feels like a smaller version of the guy that plays Mr. Terrific on Arrow.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. And so it feels like a lot of rehash on things going on.
The one character I do love in that show, and I know that you disagree most, is the stepsister who is not only a party girl, but also a doctor. I find her refreshing and complicated and in the way that the rest of the show is not.
Back to the topics at hand. That is another, that's the Bat show later on. Okay. Thank you guys.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Congratulations to Masonic Vader for subscribing for 22 months there on Twitch. Thank you very much, sir. You're welcome.
Oh my God.
All right. So, hey, since I am hosting and you are just riding the show today, let's get on to our nerd news. First thing we're going to be talking about is the new Batman movie coming up, Robert Pattinson's Batman. It looks like the way they're going to fix it is by actually putting a cast around the guy that no one wants to be Batman.
A huge cast.
Yes.
Huge cast.
So over the week, it looks like they have confirmed, if I'm not mistaken, or at least in talks with, Andy Serkis playing Alfred Pennyworth. Colin Farrell.
Weird choice, but I like it.
Colin Farrell as the Penguin. And Matthew McConaughey rumored to be Harvey Dent.
Yes, not locked down, but in
lockdown. Keyword.
Rumored.
Okay. Keyword rumored on Matthew McConaughey. I looked everywhere for legitimate, actual, like he's in talks or anything like that. Not one legitimate site had that. In fact, the one site that I used for our topic to talk about said, linked to We Got This Covered about potentially talking to Matthew McConaughey. I went to the link. The link says nothing about Matthew McConaughey. It just says that only Harvey Dent's going to be in the first film and that it'll be Two-Face later. Not one word about Matthew McConaughey. In fact, it says another actor was in talks. So I don't know how this blew up, but I'd love the casting rumor. If it happens.
So so let's break down these castings. Let's start with Andy Serkis going for Alfred Pennyworth, being the new Alfred. What are your thoughts on that? Super.
Not the role I would have seen him in. Because of his character and his great ability to adapt and blend, it seems, even though I think Michael Caine, my favorite Alfred has been Michael Caine.
Yes, absolutely.
Because he's so sassy and whatnot. But I just think Alfred's, until Michael Caine came around, Alfred's always been a background character in all of the movies and the TV shows. And so to put someone like him who has such a strong presence, it could be good or it could be bad. It depends on the writing. But I love Andy Serkis. I just would have seen him more as a villain than an Alfred.
Gotcha. I see.
Yeah, Andy Serkis is a, as Super said, fantastically adaptable actor. Like, this guy has done everything from Gollum to what's his name in the MCU. Claw, yeah, Ulysses Claw. Yeah, the guy is amazing. And I anytime somebody gets cast as an iconic character, we always have resistance to it. You know, Heath Ledger as the Joker, Joaquin Phoenix as the Joker. A lot of this is Batman related.
Jared Leto as the Joker. Oh, that's a bad example.
But Jared Leto is, no, he that's should stay the front example. Man for 30 seconds to Mars. But Andy Serkis is such a good, good actor with so much range that I can't help but think that whatever he does with that character will be good. I have to believe that. But this cast is so phenomenal. Other than Robert Pattinson as Bruce Wayne, which we've talked about, and we'll see how that works out, the cast that they're building around him is stellar. Paul Dano.
Mess. The Riddler. Throw your sense in here, sir. What do you think?
I thought you were still talking.
We are. You're now talking.
I really want to see a CGI old man with Andy Serkis playing.
Yeah.
He's got to wear dots on his face at some point.
It's Golem when he's young. It's Golem in his own.
Young Golem.
So that's and anything's got to be better than Alfred from the Joker. Yeah. So
Alfred is
I like the Andy Serkis.
The Alfred from Batman and Robin. That was a terrible Alfred.
What, the old guy from the original? No, the old guy
from Batman and Robin.
Three films.
So, no, the one from Batman and Robin with Clooney. Like, everything about that movie was bad.
Yeah.
Dude, he was an awesome Alfred.
That was the only movies. Exactly. That was the only Alfred that traversed every film up until that time.
Yeah.
And then he died.
The consummate butler guy?
I did not think he was bad in the other ones. I specifically said the Batman and Robin. Batman and Robin was just a bad movie. I didn't like anything about it.
Yeah, there's bad nipples are never good.
There's no denying that.
I don't think that film actually happened.
But I changed my idea now. Instead of getting a CGI old man as Andy Serkis, I want Andy Serkis to be playing like a Mr. Belvedere CGI Alfred.
Oh, my gosh.
No, I want him to be like Tim Curry's Mr. Body from Clue.
You know what, though? I'm excited for him because the where he was actually playing Claw in Marvel, it showed him showed a different side of his acting because up until then, a lot of his acting was the CGI, I could do all this Kong, Lord of the Rings. Yeah, all this stuff has been behind the scenes. And so when I saw
the
him
MCU, play, it was just him.
Yeah, when I saw him play Claw, it was a different type of actor, which was
and
awesome.
A good one.
Yeah, and I liked that ability. So I could see him pulling off a smart-ass Alfred Pennyworth. In fact, he might even get a little badassness one since they're already having series and whatever where Alfred's
badass. I'm hoping that if he as he plays Alfred, I hope that it's more similar to the Gotham TV show, the badass Alfred, rather than just the butler Alfred.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, I'm sure it will be because this does look like they're I don't want to say retrograding Batman, but it's definitely looking like this cast altogether is going to be a younger cast in a sense. It's going to give you that feel of younger, of years past, you know? So then after you have him, you have Colin Farrell as the Penguin.
I can't even remember the last
silence from all of us.
No, I have thoughts, but I don't want to be the a-hole talking all the time.
What was the last movie he even did?
I think The Lobster.
He does a lot of stuff, just not as big as
okay,
before,
so,
but he still does
actually
a lot.
He's a super talented actor. He's not he just is. Face. The guy is actually a talented actor.
But when I think of the Penguin, I just don't think Colin Farrell.
Right? That's exactly
what we didn't think of that Robert Pattinson for Batman, but apparently they're going with that crap too. So
yeah.
I think it's an interesting pick. I think it's something outside of what we've seen of him. We've seen all different types of acting from him, but this is going to be an interesting twist. I mean, the last great Penguin I could think of, and I don't think the Gotham Penguin was that special, but Danny DeVito pulling it off was phenomenal.
I think they wanted to go as anti-Danny DeVito as you could, and that's pretty anti-Danny DeVito.
If you could think of a man that is opposite of Danny DeVito, it would be Colin Farrell.
Wait. We don't know. We don't know that yet. I mean, John Leguizamo and freaking Spawn. Enough said. Okay. I mean, you got makeup and everything else could turn him into something else. We don't know what he's going to look like. We're just thinking of his acting prowess.
No, we need to know what that penguin's going to be.
I think his acting versus Danny DeVito's acting is completely different. Method, style, approach, everything is completely different from Danny DeVito. So I think he's a good actor. It's just if I had thought Batman pick for him, I don't know if I would have gone Penguin first off.
Mess, what's your thought process, sir?
Okay, I love Colin Farrell. I will preach my love for this man. I love all the roles that he does for the most part.
Even SWAT?
I have SWAT on DVD, so.
But not Blu-ray. VHS, so that's telling.
I'd be laughing hard if you said VHS.
What was
that? I have it on DVD.
I got it on Betamax.
In Bruges is an amazing film.
Was he the one that did Phone Booth?
And Phone Booth? No, I don't think he was in Phone Booth. I thought that was.
That was Phone Booth.
Yeah,
that was him.
I think a Kiefer, the bad guy, But yeah, okay, yeah. Phone Booth was just, it was
different.
Weird.
It was a fun acting exercise.
That's the thing, is he will attempt different characters and roles. His vampire in the remake of, I can't remember. That was the best part of that film. I can't remember what the name of the freaking movie is. The one where the kid's living in the court of the vampire.
Dark, what was it?
Dark Knight? Dark?
Nope. It was, not his
dark. It's a remake of an old 80s film. David Tennant was in it as well.
Yes. You know, I know exactly what you're talking about.
The intricacies that he does for that character where he's like sniffing the air before he walks. I mean, Colin Farrell is a great actor. The problem with Colin Farrell is I like him so much that I love seeing him in a comic book film. And the first time I saw that, he burned me really badly because Bullseye was horrific.
Oh, God. Bullseye was terrible.
Are we going to blame that on Colin Farrell or the entire movie? How about that?
The whole movie.
Hey,
he literally had a bullseye on his forehead. Come on.
Was that his idea? No, that was his character that they said, hey, by the way, we're going to put a bullseye on your freaking forehead. Okay?
He was given a broad spectrum. Like, you know what? You're going to be the bad guy. And he did what he could with it.
He was a bad guy in Alexander, too.
Yeah, but
although I did like his the one thing with Bullseye, I did like the scene where he's really, really annoyed and flicks the peanut into the person's throat.
Yeah.
that was pretty good.
Or kills him with a paperclip. Come on. That's genius.
So I do like the casting, but if I get burned for a second time as him as the Penguin, I don't ever want to see him in a comic book film again.
I respect it. I respect that casting. We Heath Ledger Joker. We never thought it would work. It worked like crazy. I think Colin Farrell as the Penguin could really work. Depends on how they approach it.
And once
it all depends on the writing.
Yeah, really going off of Super's comments, yeah, everything is going to be opposite of what we now consider. They've been able to break. I think Heath Ledger did that for comic books. When Heath Ledger broke out the Joker and was so successful, it made an opportunity for everybody to say, okay, we can make characters that you've grown up on different and still be successful. And that's
There is no Joaquin Phoenix Joker without the Heath Ledger Joker.
Absolutely. Exactly. And before that, Jack Nicholson, blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, it was good to show that they can make a more realistic versus a more jokey. So I could see them pulling this off. Like I said, I've seen the Gotham Penguin. I think this is going to be much better than the Gotham Penguin. You know, enough said. I just think it's too...
Love Robin Lord, but I that's a very specific take on
that. Yeah, let's move on to the last cast. Matthew McConaughey as potentially being Two-Face. I think it's awesome.
You know, I think he pull it off. Not in a romantic comedy. I think he can do anything. I don't know what it is. Like, you look at him and you think he'd be perfect in a romantic comedy, but his romantic comedies stink. I hate them all.
No, they're so fun.
Oh God, no! I did. Well, I'm not a big rom-com person anyway, so that probably has.
How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days? Come on, that's magic.
Oh, I forgot he was in that one. That one was actually pretty good.
Days and Confused.
I was thinking of what's that stupid one where he gets like kidnapped by all his ex-girlfriends and like tied to a chair and thrown.
Oh yeah, Ghosts of Girlfriends Past.
Oh, so awful.
So let's stay on topic here. How about him as Two-Face? Stay on topic. Two-Face McConaughey.
Yeah, I think he could pull it off. Because he's got that charm. You know, when Harvey Dent is Harvey Dent, he's got that suave kind of charm, you know, and then I could see him flipping and being the dark side.
Wouldn't it be awesome if the movie played and he's doing a Chrysler commercial at the same time?
that's a big bowl.
Mess.
Look at that. Look at that bowl.
While drinking some smooth alcohol.
Got some nice brown scotch.
So Two-Face flips a double-headed coin where one side is scratched. And if I don't get a line of, all right, all right, all right, I just keep flipping and just keep coming up heads. Then
you are absolutely correct. It doesn't matter how good he is as an actor in that role. If he doesn't say, all right, all right, all right, at some point, they have failed.
But they can play on the actual full thing where he can say, I just keep flipping and it just keeps coming up heads.
I want him to say to somebody, you know what? You just got to keep living. LIVIN.
By the way, thank you, Beacon. 12-month subscription there with Twitch Prime.
Beacon, come on. You should have been subscribed for like 36 months.
I think I'm still in the lead.
Other than that, if he ends up getting the role, I'm fine with it. It doesn't bother me. So
yeah, he's got the charisma to play Harvey Dent, and he's got the acting chops to play the villain if he becomes Two-Face. The article that we read, Mess, you said that you couldn't find it backed up anywhere else, but they basically said, like, yeah, they're going to introduce Harvey Dent in this film, but he's not going to become Two-Face until and if there's a second film. So
we saw that in the last movie. Go figure.
Yeah, seeding Matthew McConaughey into that kind of franchise thing—that's a brilliant move.
All right, so Super, you got your 2 cents on this before we move on?
I think he's good. I think he'll do fine if he gets cast.
There you go. Short and to the point. We like it. We like it. Moving on, our next topic.
This is of me.
Well, this is one of my favorite types of topics, a reboot. Yay! Yes. Disney. If they haven't, so I think we had a conversation a couple weeks ago. Hey, you know, Disney's just running out. You know, they're just going to start recasting everything. Here's this one. We thought we said it all. And then lo and behold, Disney said, let me put my beer down. Mighty Ducks reboot for Disney Plus.
I mean, at least it's a TV series, but come on.
Why?
Let's give them the flying A.
It was already perfect. Something that was already perfect. Why would you mess with that?
Well, how did the third one not kill the franchise forever? It was terrible.
Well,
if the CGI mustache can't kill a character off, then nothing's, you know, everything's good.
I mean, the only thing we know about it is who directing it. We don't have any idea who's being cast in it. I mean,
yeah.
That's not true. The writers from the original movie are coming back to
original writers, which gives me a little bit of hope.
Yeah.
A little bit of hope. Tiny little.
Best, get in there.
My problem is, okay, so this is why I brought this up. It falls in that vein of time frame where a reboot is allowed because, hell, if it's over five years, they think that they can reboot anything. And it's a beloved film, so once again, they think they can reboot it just because they'll bring back people. The problem I have with this is the story. I don't know how you can call this a Mighty Ducks reboot, because it says that the series focuses on a 13-year-old boy who gets kicked off the junior division of the Mighty Ducks team, so his mom starts their own team, finding players, a coach, and a place to play. So are the Mighty Ducks going to actually be the bad guys?
Because the Mighty Ducks are going to be the bad guys, yes. The Mighty Ducks are going to be the bad guy team.
I hate to say this,
it sounds like it's a continuation. So that's why I'm wondering, are they going to try to bring back some of the
original? Is Joshua Jackson going to be there?
I hope to God not. I swear to God, he has moved so far beyond this flipping series.
I need either Joshua Jackson or Emilio Estevez in that movie.
Well, Emilio can do it because I don't think he's working. So
I think he needs a better chance of getting that kid Goldman. What was his name? The little goalie that liked to eat hot dogs?
Goldberg. They made a television series about him already, right? The Goldbergs, right? here's my problem with this. I've seen this before. It's called The Little Giants. Okay, I saw that show.
Your kids were
good enough to play, so they made their own team. Okay, old. Not only that, it's like what IC said. It was a great movie to start with. The second movie even wasn't that bad when you introduced different characters and put the Olympic twist to it. But what made the movies good was not necessarily the writing or the story. It was the cast.
It was the heart.
That cast was all these different kids you've never seen or heard about for the most part, and you had Emilio Estevez, and then you had the other coach that plays like Lane Smith or something, another movie. Anyway,
was that one of the Skarsgårds? I don't remember.
No, it's a guy that played Lane Smith, or the writer for Superman, I think, in Lois and Clark. Anyways, it was just a great cast. All the kids worked really well together. They just had that great chemistry to it. And you're going to try to – I mean, I hate to take it from the movie. You're trying to regenerate that Minnesota magic again, you know? That's what it is. And I don't think they can pull it off. I know Disney does a lot of stuff, but, man, I'm going to watch that because I love that movie, and I'm just going to be disappointed. I can tell you that right off the
bat. I'm preparing myself to be upset.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. I can tell you one person that's not going to be in it. Well, maybe he is because he's not on Daredevil anymore. I totally forgot the guy that plays Foggy was Fulton Reed in it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You're right. Totally oh, my God. Foggy was in Mighty Ducks. Oh, man. My worldview just shifted.
Yeah. He's so.
Let him be the lawyer that need backing from.
Okay, well, speaking of lawyers, can we talk about how just garbage that plot was originally? A lawyer gets a DUI and his community is coaching a hockey team? What?
This is why people have a skewed sense of what actually happens for community service when you get a ticket. Now, they think you're going to be like working homeless shelters, or they're going to be doing. No, it's picking up trash on the side of the road.
Okay? Now, here's the thing. I actually grew up in Minnesota, so I can vouch for the fact that that's realistic.
Is it really?
Damn.
Yeah.
It is the Midwest. Yeah, I'll go with that.
The magic of the original series was a weird connection that they had between Joshua Jackson and Emilio Estevez.
Absolutely. Well, it was mostly they wanted to hump her mom, but whatever.
Yeah, and I don't know if you can recapture that.
Humping his mom, all right.
Well, it's on Disney Plus, so I'm sure they'll try.
Disney Plus is going to put everything in our laps.
I mean, okay, seriously, Disney, you have your entire film collection and Marvel and Star Wars. Did you really need to go all in with freaking Mighty? When, could you have just waited on that one? Could you have given us
at least they did their hockey series about kids that are rejects from other sports.
I don't remember the year, but when they made Hunchback of Notre Dame into a children's movie, I was like, oh, they're out of stories.
And that's a dark cartoon, though, even on the Disney side of things.
Dark story.
And it's cleaned up, and it's still one of the darkest movies Disney's ever made. So it's creepy.
And we're not talking about the lighting.
Nope.
So Disney, chill the F out, please. We don't need Mighty Ducks anytime.
You already
soon.
Own everything.
Yes.
You
know what?
Just take a back.
Save it for second season, okay? Just make sure you have your go-to in case if it fails. You'll get your subscriptions with the Mighty Ducks, all right?
I blame Mind Freak for this because we talked about the announcement
Chris
of
Angel?
Everything that was going to be for this Mighty Ducks. Yeah, I blame Mind Freak because we, as you know, Bob Iger and everybody at Disney is a huge fan of all things nerd. And so when we did our cast about all the things that were being released on the first day of Disney Plus, the biggest thing that Mind Freak had to talk about was the Mighty Ducks cartoon and how excited he was that he was going to be able to watch Mighty Ducks somewhere. And they saw that and they said, holy crap, for the millennial that plays video games on Twitch and wears an anime wig, we need to make this show.
Like, oh. Yeah, the Mighty Ducks cartoon, that really didn't happen. Damn. Donald Duck and his little cousin, nephew, whatever's. Okay, they're all related. Don't say the ducks we need to see, all right? Dang it. Moving on. Oh, this one hurts.
Moving on.
As I'm the only Supes fan on this entire channel.
I don't hate him. I just don't like him as much.
Anyway. So, news in the comic book world. If you didn't think things couldn't get any stranger or more ignorant, I'm going to use the big word there. Superman is losing his secret identity.
Good.
What do you mean good? Every superhero, for the most part, unless you're in Watchmen, have a secret identity.
No.
Every superhero has a secret identity. To keep them family and them safe, and so they could try to have some type of life on the side rather than just walking around all day with a freaking cape out, right? Why? I'm against it.
I love this.
Of course you do, because you're a Batman fan. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm mostly a Marvel fan. So, but I feel like this gives them so much more opportunity for good storytelling. Like with Superman out, once the world knows that he's Clark Kent, they have so much more possibility of what they can do with that. Like this is going to lead to brilliant writing. And I don't know why you would dislike that.
Because I can already tell you one of the first things that's going to happen. His identity will come out. He'll be at the Daily Planet. And someone's going to attack the Daily Planet because he's there.
Of course.
Come on. That's the movie. You're telling me that they're going to have – it gives them an opportunity to do really
good. They're going to do the obvious easy tropes real quick. And then they're going to get into some actual real storytelling. Like, they're going to get into things where he has to actually deal with the fact that people know who he is and how that's going to affect his family, how that's going to affect his life just in general. It's going to be really good storytelling. When Superman died in 92, that was a huge thing, but it led to really good storytelling.
Mess, go ahead.
So, one... This is Brian Michael Bendis that's writing this. This is the first big story that he's really bringing over to DC. It was a big get to get him over in DC. I love Brian Michael Bendis. There's a lot of people that don't like Bendis for his writing, but I loved Powers. I loved pretty much everything he did over at Marvel. He created the Ultimate line, which really skyrocketed Marvel in the 2000s. But he mentioned some stuff with this story, and he said he took it to him, and he had to like fight to be able to do this. Like everybody was like, "Oh, this is going to affect my story." But what you're saying about how it's going to affect
things, it's going to ripple throughout the entire universe.
Well, he makes a comment on even the small stuff. He says it affects business, how it affects the Daily Planet, how it affects how he gets his stories. So they're going to look at him as a reporter. They said how will people perceive his stories that he gets.
Does he one of my favorite comments Pulitzer was, back? Does he have to give his Pulitzer back? Yeah.
Yeah, and he said they're going to address all that stuff quickly. The biggest thing that he said with this, and I say lies because this is always what I hear, and I don't know if it's actually going to – I'm going to see if they can sit through with this. He says that they will not go back on this, that he will forever in the future have his identity out there, that it's not going to ever be.
This is canon now.
Yeah. And I don't know if they're going to keep that. I mean, I thought the funniest thing about this whole getting rid of his secret identity was that the way that people read comic books now, the younger generation that reads comic books now, look at people's secret identities as being like a troll on the internet. And you got to adapt storytelling to the current generation. And that's why they're getting rid of his identity. So that Superman's not considered a troll.
Oh my God. That's the stupidest reason. Well,
it's lame. I mean, cause here's what will end up happening. You'll get the attacks, and then you'll start getting, and I don't know, it almost seems like he's pulling from Marvel too much, because it's the whole, hey, we need to know who every superhero is now. We got to register every superhero. Batman needs to tell us who he is.
Sokovia Accords, really?
No, seriously.
I don't think it'll go that far.
I think eventually they will lead that way, though, because you're talking about how many stories can you have? Because I'm thinking, yeah, okay, the effects of his work at the Daily Planet. He's probably not going to work there anymore. Who knows? I don't know. But, I mean, it's just going to affect
all that. He's absolutely going to still work there. That's how comic
books. Why not? Hey, he's had a superhero. He's had a secret identity since day one, and now they're getting rid of it. Who says he has to work at the Daily Planet anymore? I mean, that's kind of – that's my part of it that kills me. Because this is part of original Superman. This was part of his character. This is what literally started –
Okay, so, Masonic, I have to ask. Are you against this because it's against how the character was written originally? Or do you think that it's going to lead to worse storytelling? Because I think that it's going to lead to better storytelling, and I'm in favor of that.
It's twofold. It's one, yes, it's going against, like, it's kind of like the same thing where you're trying to change the character as a whole from gender to wherever, from planet, wherever they're from and stuff. It's changing the original. The other thing is, though, is it really going to be storytelling? Because how many times – no, wait. Let me finish. How many times have they talked about why you have a secret identity, and then they start listing the reasons? Okay? That's exactly what they're going to do. They're just going to look at this list that they've had for the last 70 years and say, okay, let's take that one off. Let's take that one. I mean, we already know everything that's going to happen. All they're going to do now is just put it on.
No, we don't. No, because those writers are brilliant. And they're going to take this and use and make nuance out of it. They're going to do things that you would not expect because they are that good. That's why they're the writers of that. The fact that he is going to be exposing his identity to the entire world is going to lead to whole new avenues of storytelling that they would not otherwise have available to them. And I think that's really smart. The fact that this writer took it to the entire Warner Brothers board and they said, you know what? Yeah, you know what? We can see that. We can see where you're going with this, and we approve. That means that there are people that are in charge of this that approve.
But is it going to just end up being stories of creating people that have animosity? Because
no,
this, I hope not. You know,
I don't think so, but I hope not.
No, those
that's what I fear is going to be the focus.
Those writers aren't that dumb.
I know they're not. I fear that the focus will end up being that, where it's like, let's show how the public would react to this and the animosity that they would have for, you know, and really focus on that, because that makes a more compelling story than just, you know, and that's my only fear with it. I have no qualms with it. This is a big shift for DC.
There's an easy, dumb, simple way to go with it, and I trust those writers enough to not believe that they're going to do that. That's my opinion,
though. Once again, I like I said, I'm against it because it goes against everything that superheroes are about. Like that's every superhero has the alter ego to be able to keep themselves in plain sight without giving up who they are. And granted, a pair
except of glasses, for, except for all of Marvel.
What's that?
Except for all of Marvel.
Well, that's
portions of Marvel.
To everyone is in Marvel.
No, portions of Marvel.
You know who portions are. He's right. We don't know. Not everyone knows everyone.
The thing, DC, Peter but Parker, he's right. If you go on, yeah. But if you go on the DC aspect, he's right. On the DC, for the DC fans, DC still, everybody is under their secret identity. So
that's true.
The only one out is Oliver Queen and Arrow, but he don't count. He's TV.
Okay, but like, how does a massive ripple like that not create better storytelling?
Oh, it's gonna. I think it's gonna be creating compelling stories. I want to see how long is it gonna last, because Death of Superman, like you said,
they have said it's going to last forever.
And I agree.
I've heard that before from writers.
Mess Jeff on that too. Death of Superman was supposed to be the end of Superman, and they realized what happened and said, "Oh, we can't kill number one. We got to bring him back." That's what it was.
Is Masonic Vader saying we can't trust DC?
If there's enough fan uproar, this goes away really quick. It's going to be like he says. It's not anything alternate universe. It's not Mixelplex, whatever. But I guarantee the second there's uproar and it's not going well and it's hurting sales, all of a sudden it's going to be, oh, well, this is what was going on. And, you know, yeah. So
I see this working and lasting, but that's me.
I just don't want it to be a trail effect. I'm fine with doing it with Superman, but don't go like, oh, it did so well to sell stories and give us more creativity. Now let's put Batman out there. Now let's put, you know.
Oh, no. Yeah, no.
They're going to do the Sokovia thing for it. They are. I hate to say it.
I don't know if they could, though, because that would go so against the dynamic of Batman and Superman. I mean, putting Superman into that, like pushing Batman to, like, you have to let people know your secret identity. It's not, Superman's not that type of character, but who knows? Who knows? I hope they don't. If they do that, that's really going to piss me off, because then that is just copying Marvel.
Well, I mean, come on. That's literally what it's happening right here. You're bringing a Marvel writer over the DC, and he's a great writer. I agree with you 100%. But it starts off the fact that he's doing something that Marvel's done.
Maybe that's why they brought him over.
No, they brought him over because he's an amazing writer, and they backed up the Brinks truck to him to tell him to come write for him.
Yeah, they did. They backed up a buttload of gold.
So this will be a continuation somewhere down the line, probably in season four. We'll see. All right. Let's go into our trailer reactions. All right. Let's check these out. What is that again? How do you want to say it?
In a world.
In a city, in a town, in a world. They thought they had it all figured out. But there was one thing they didn't plan on.
In a world where some people have seen trailers and other people have not, Superhuman Freak is going to describe them to you right now.
Which one are we talking about? Are we talking about a color?
No, you're just being introduced. So let's start.
Oh, my God. Please include that in the cut.
You're going to talk about Diablo 4. Go ahead.
Well, I have no frame of reference for anything about this game because I haven't played it at all. But, I mean, you opened with a guy drinking from a water jug. So that screams super exciting to me. Looked real realistic. I was like, excellent. They drink water in this game. Perfect. The fight scenes actually looked really cool, though. It looked like there were people that were working in tandem, so you saw some magic going on, and you saw I don't know what he was using, an axe or something, but it looked fun. It looked really realistic. There was blood everywhere. I mean, water and blood, how can you go wrong?
So when they actually
be like your tagline.
I can see it right now. Wait, hold on a second. Can you imagine this? They've released the game, and at the end, they're showing all like the reviews. They drink water from a jug.
I want that to be Sarah's tagline: water and blood. How can you go wrong?
How can you go wrong? But it was just like the weirdest opening. It's just a dude in a field drinking water from a jug for like 10 seconds. I was like,
fantastic. It's kind of like a girl putting on her makeup for PlayStation 5.
Right? For those listening to only the audio podcast, she just did a peace sign.
Peace.
Or the okay. Wait, is this even allowed anymore? Are we allowed to do the okay symbol? Thumbs
just
up.
Just don't put it around your knee.
No.
All right.
Yeah.
Thumbs up. Thumbs up.
I see. You said you saw some of it, correct?
No, I have never played Diablo. I have what? Never cared about Diablo. Yeah. No, I have had friends that did it, and a mess told me that it was like a 9-minute cinematic movie, so I skipped that.
So I'm a much forgiving host, because when someone said they didn't watch, I don't know.
It's the one thing that I did not do.
Boy, someone got roasted when they talked about not watching Game of Thrones. Diablo is like part of the original video game.
Are you still so sure about that?
Yes, yes, because Diablo is like part of the original video game. Like, if you play video games in the Golden Age, Diablo is one of them.
I
agree with me, by the way.
That's Diablo. I know what the game is. You're wandering around. You're killing demons. It's a lot about loot carrying. You know, you have to fit things into your capacity. I don't want to play that game. I don't.
Go for it, man.
Pedopolis in the chat room says Diablo is the shit. You should play it because of that.
Well, Diablo is shit, so whatever.
No, it's not.
It's just not for me. It's not for me. Okay?
This is the biggest thing. Blizzard has been under so much ridicule lately because they've been losing a lot of creators, getting rid of people, and so everybody's really upset with Blizzard that they needed something to get the wave of anger off of them. How do you do that? You release a trailer, a 9-minute cinematic trailer for one of your biggest franchises. And it's a good trailer. It's a 9 minutes. Do not unsubscribe, Pedopolis. We do not, our views and opinions are not those of Icy Zorro. Yeah.
Pedopolis.
Pretty soon you're going to not
you know
see
me.
Zorro.
I'm a dick.
You're not going to see Zorro anymore.
That's just kidding. So this 9-minute trailer was actually kind of entertaining. Even if you don't watch the or play the game, it was a little entertaining 9-minute thing. Now, I definitely saw a lot of stuff in there that had references to other pop culture for me. One, when you see the demons chasing after everybody, it looks like they are in Lord of the Rings with the orcs chasing them.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Then the main guy that's trying to save the guy at first that has the patch on his eye, I got a Game of Thrones vibe that he was the dude with the flaming sword. Looks just like him.
Yeah.
We got a Fifth Element vibe in there because he's trying to figure out what to do. He's the light. Yeah. and then you get your Hellblazer Event Horizon scene of the whole at the end telling him to summon. It had a very, very, like, get us to hell Event Horizon Hellblazer scene to it. So there was a lot of, like, curtails to that. And then, if for nothing else, watch it to see a new meaning for Blood Curtains. So.
Oh, Jesus. Well, my mind is the dirtiest thing possible right there, so...
But no, it does make me excited for the game. It's a really good cinematic trailer. Even if you hadn't played the game before, it's a cool little 9-minute movie to introduce Lilith. That's basically what it's doing.
I was mentioning this in the pre-show and everything. My only concern is that typically when you see these really awesome 9 to 10 minute trailers, that they put too much in the cinematography and not enough into the game. Like that's
more pretty than good.
That's what killed me with the Final Fantasy series as time moved forward, is there was too much of one versus the other versus the mix that they had. So I'm very excited to see that they were able to reincarnate the series and bring some new life to it. But I am kind of concerned that they might have put too much into the cinematography. I want to see the actual gameplay before I get super excited about it. But I am excited. Because I can only take so much listening to World of Warcraft.
Gameplay
because
trailers.
Of this, there is actually a lot of gameplay trailers. there's a lot of gameplay out there now showing from all the big, from IGN and all the different companies showing it. So it's Diablo. It's going to be the same type of stuff that you got from Diablo 3 and 2 and 1. It's a dungeon crawling game where you go and you kill stuff.
Yeah.
And you try
to
kill
mobs. You're going to try to figure out where to fit stuff in your inventory. It's good. It's exactly what you want it to be.
It's an RPG. It's a dungeon crawler RPG. It's what you expect of it. But it's a super popular series. Diablo 3 was one of the most highly sold games of all time. So to get a fourth one, as opposed to just an attachment to the third or something, is a nice thing to get a full new game.
You know what the other thing I like about it, though, too? Is it's a new game. And I'm going to give Final Fantasy credit about this because they had to re-release one of their best games of all time to kind of get themselves relevant against versus, hey, we're just going to make a brand new game off a series that's awesome. That's what I like about it. It's a brand new take to the game. So we have one other trailer out there. And let me go back to this really quick. Oh, because we have to get our gratuitous and I get to have my end of the year thing. Nick Cage! Yes, we got our gratuitous Nick Cage.
We have to. Yes.
Yes, have to. There's a reason
that we have to talk about this trailer, though. So go ahead and introduce the trailer. I'll explain why we have to talk about it.
Yes.
Nick Cage's Color Out of Space. Ta-da! Mess, take it away.
I still don't know what the hell is happening in this trailer. I have no idea what's happening.
Wait. Before Mess could start, Super, give us your thoughts.
Yes, please.
Why did you end what could have been a relatively cool kind of weird trailer with Nick Cage's lame voiceover going, the color.
The color.
And I'm like, that's how you end what could have been like, because you're right, that trailer made no sense whatsoever. It introduced...
Describe it to us, please.
Well, what is it? Was it like Men in Black? There's a meteor that crashes into a yard and disappears. It's H.P. Lovecraft, so you know it's going to be weird. And then, like, all of a sudden, all of these people are, like, being infected with this alien color, and it's, like, paranormal. Oh, not paranormal, but what's that TV one?
Next one.
I can't remember the hell.
I want to hear it from you.
The one, it starts with a P, but it's not paranormal. It's not phantoms. It's
yeah. Move on to the next part.
Yeah. So it's a weird crossover, and I didn't read the book, so that probably didn't help. But I just thought the ending of it was lame.
How was it lame?
Well, with that lame voiceover, took out all the creep factor and just left you with a lame Nick Cage voiceover.
How about I think my favorite part of the trailer is where it looks like he's got some kind of gun and he does his face off scream.
I wanted John Woo dubs to fly past.
Yeah, I did like the creepy little kid. I actually think that kid's going to be super creepy when he's just sitting there whistling and she's like, what's going on, and he's like, shh. And they focus on his lips or whatever, and then he's like, he's talking to me. So that was kind of creepy. So using little kids as a creep factor is always a good idea.
Yes.
But then when she's
it's a Stephen King thing. Yeah.
Stephen King, yeah. And when she's washing the knife off in the sink, and then all of a sudden everything's being overrun with the blood, and you don't know, is it really happening? Is it a vision? That was kind of cool, flashing between the two.
We talked about this pre-show. Who was your favorite surprising actor?
Okay, well, first, before I get to that, the reason we're talking about this trailer is we brought up this movie when we first heard it announced that Nick Cage was doing an H.P. Lovecraft story into a film, and we talked about...
What a brilliant and a weird combination.
Episodes before were like, what do we expect out of a Nick Cage H.P. Lovecraft story? And, you know, that's the whole reason we have to react to this trailer.
I want tentacles that tell me that they're more important than anything else.
Two, all I can think of right now outside of my favorite part of the trailer is, one, Super has brought up Phantoms, yo.
Phantoms, yo.
Inside of Bob reference for you. And three, that she thinks little kids are creepy.
Yeah.
That's all I'm getting at. That's fair. But no, I love that not only does he appear in the trailer, but he actually gets a name credit on the trailer. Tommy Chong is in this, playing a tripped out drug guy, so not far off.
What? No, he's
Tommy Chong is playing himself.
No way. Cheech is in there like, rolling.
He's like hippie eyes out with paint on his face.
He is painted up like a like he's playing Native American cosplay.
And then you can't forget the other great line, the color. It was like pink, but not really. It was
but not really pink, like some color that was like blowing our minds.
Yeah. It was like a color I've never seen before.
It is the dumbest shit I've ever heard. Ever. I have read a lot of bad fiction, and this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
The best thing about it is Nick Cage really is selling it.
He's selling it so hard.
I know.
I mean, it was
hard up for the money.
Or in it. In a Nick Cage-led H.P. Lovecraft, so
you're gonna go in expecting Con Air or what's Arizona?
Con Air on acid.
Yeah, it's yeah. No, it's gonna be just Nick Cage.
It's the bees on acid is what it is.
Mixed in with a little Cage, face,
literally just taking acid
with some of the acting from Con Air, and. We wish it was the Nick Cage from Raising Arizona, but obviously he doesn't have that much hair. No. And he's also about 100 pounds heavier.
Also, it was written by the Coen brothers, and that was a fantastic movie.
The amount of llamas in this trailer are absolutely insane. So.
The amount of llamas?
Dude, I don't even know where to go with it. Like, I'm watching the trailer, and the only thing I'm thinking is, mess. What the hell, dude? Seriously, what the hell are we even talking about?
It was
about
purely because Nick Cage is in it. There it's is Nick no one way that we watched that.
One, it's because Nick Cage is in it. Two, it's because it was an actual topic when we first heard the announcement of it.
No, so, I'll explain it right now for everybody who's picked up on us this year. At the end of every year, we have a couple shows we do. There's one that's broken up into two episodes, which is a recap of our greatest hits. And then the third part of it is every time we reference Nick Cage.
Nick Cage counter.
So what it is we usually have a couple guys on here a lot. Big Papa Bat and Beacon. Well, they haven't been on as much, and they're huge Nick Cage fans. We haven't said Nick Cage's name more consistently than today than probably
Jesus
the beginning
Christ,
of the year.
You put like 40 of them into this cast.
Yes, he had to make up for this show. He had to, or there was going to be no Nick Cage episode.
He is the worst. I hate Nick Cage. But you know what? We talk about him so much.
Nick Cage.
It's impossible not to
Nicholas
find something.
Coppola.
It's impossible not to find something about him to talk about because it is so out there, whatever he does.
He's a very interesting man.
I'm getting to a point now where if you've seen Teen Titans Go, I want to say his name like they do Slade. Nick Cage.
Please stop. Please stop.
Now, wait a minute. You just said he's a very interesting man. So now I want to see a drink up between him and the most interesting man. Hell, let's get him. Chuck Norris and the most interesting man all just battling drinking against each other.
I can already tell you he's going to win. The most interesting man. You know why? He's the only red shirt that's lived in Star Trek.
It depends on what they're drinking.
If
it's Dos Equis, then the most interesting man in the world is going to win.
Yeah.
And also everybody else.
And Pedopolis says it was the best Ghost Rider ever.
Ever!
I will fight you.
Hey, dude, we're lucky we're still on there after you sat there and said, well, I've never played that game before.
Yeah, well.
It was an interesting blend.
Do you want to continue to host and like finish off the podcast?
Yeah, let's finish this podcast off. It's been a wonderful night. First of all, I want to say thank you to our host site, Malice Corp. We didn't do that at the beginning. Malice-Corp, thank you guys so much for running the Twitch hour. I know everyone came over to Twitch to see our show. We want to thank you guys so much for letting us do our weekly show. Where can we follow everybody? IC Zorro, where can we follow you?
I am at IC Zorro on Twitter, Instagram, and PlayStation Network.
And I think you're on Twitch now because you're going to be playing Diablo, right?
Oh, never once. Never going to do that.
Yeah. Super, I will stab somebody. Super, where can we follow you?
You can follow me on Twitter at Superhoovian Freak or Superhoovian Nut. And you can follow me on Instagram at Superhoovian Freak. And so I've been pretty active on there lately. So please come talk to me.
Yes, it is an awesome.
She is a very good follow. If you've ever followed her at all, so much fun to watch.
Mess, where can the peeps follow you, sir?
If you want to follow me, you can follow me on Twitter at Mess _ Malice Corp or on Instagram at Mess5150, along with my YouTube channel, Geek Guidepost, if you want to see my further adventures of random stuff that I go out and do.
And before I say my stuff, let's throw in this little shameless plug since we're in November. Next month is December. Of course, we have a great holiday. It comes around where you want to buy a bunch of stuff. Go to our website. Go to the bottom, and you'll see this little Amazon logo. Click on that logo and go shopping to your heart's content, because since we are getting ourselves going, all those little things that you buy off of Amazon through that link will help support our crew and help us get, who knows, better lighting. Maybe some CGI to take care of some of this missing hair that some of us have.
I think better microphones would be a good thing.
Yeah, microphone would be good too. Yeah. So you can follow
better
me
host. At
Better Host. Yeah. Yeah.
We have fun. You know what? Nick Cage will do anything and everything that's sent to him. So help us support Nick Cage.
If we can raise $25, we can get Nick Cage to host this podcast.
Oh my God. You know what? Let's go for 50 so we can get a season long of the Cage.
Sure.
Bess is about to cry right there. Pete, thank you so much for showing up to the show. We appreciate you. Yeah. And he says, buy some Diablo merch. You can follow me and Masonic Vader on Twitter and Masonic Vader 71 on the PlayStation Network, or vice versa. Yeah, no, it's vice versa. PlayStation Network, whatever. You can figure it out. You're all grown adults. Thank you guys so much for showing up. This was a great cast tonight. We had a lot of fun. We'll see you next week. It'll be our season finale. So please join in. We might have some extra people, a lot of fun, and we will bring the thunder with maybe a couple adult beverages.
Yes, we will.
Yeah. except I see you cannot.
Except me. You have to make it through. I'm not allowed. Cast, right? Yeah. No, I have to actually be awake for the whole thing.
Thank you guys so much for showing up. Thanks you for following. You guys have a wonderful night. Stay nerdy out there.
Keep nerding on.
Carry on.